This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hour number three is brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do. Projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. Bart, when it's hour number three, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, hour. Oh, yes.
That's it. Nope. Only get one gong today. That is it. Here's why. Because we definitely, I don't know how it started out this way. Somehow, some way. I was just asking a very innocent question about, like, sleeping with the windows open because it was so cool last night in New York.
Yep.
That it was definitely, like, open the windows and feel that beautiful air, enjoy, turn off the air conditioning for a minute and just enjoy it. And then somehow, some way, you were talking about your weekend and how you had to, you have your auto detailing company, and you decided to show up and do a hands-on, like the boss is here to show you how to clean a car. Because you know, like,
take
you are
my name on it.
Like, right. And so, and you got some high-end cars you got to clean, so you want to make sure you're keeping those customers. And you just had a complaint about how some of the young people you're hiring, you know, don't really understand the idea of, like, effort.
And hard work, man. They want to take a lunch break. They hot.
Yeah, like, it's always something. And we had, like, a graphics joker, if a listener of the show said that, you know, your can't wait moment in this generation is sort of like, yeah, can wait.
Yeah, I can wait. Actually.
Yeah, I can wait.
Actually, I have a minute.
So we've had a lot of get off my lawn old guys like us calling in, giving us the whole thing about what kids can't do these days. We have a young guy who wants to respond. Uh-oh. His name is Justin. He's from Jersey. Justin, defend your generation.
Who are you guys calling when your Wi-Fi goes out? Or when you need to switch from Netflix to Amazon Prime on your input?
Bro, I'm not that damn old.
Man, are you serious?
I know how to push the input, forgetting my passwords.
The amount of times I've taught my parents to switch from Netflix to Prime to everything.
That's the input button. That's the input button. I would think we're not as old as your parents.
Yeah, I'm good. Like, I think I can handle that. Justin, that's what you brought to the table? Who do you need to help with your Wi-Fi password?
The real thing I'm going to defend, the real thing I will defend the youngins, if your Wi-Fi goes down and the Wi-Fi, everything revolves around Wi-Fi now, everyone has to come to us.
Okay, tell me this. What's the last thing that you've done? What's the last thing you've installed
with
that wasn't electronic with your hands? Like, what bracket?
Yeah,
what
downloading frame, an app?
Yeah, what's the last time you used a drill?
Bart, you're asking the wrong person. I put my home gym up in my garage, so I know how to work with my hands, but I do understand what you're saying.
Look, the whole gym, that's just a bolt in the washer.
No, I respect that. No, you know that's not just a bolt in the washer. You got to find, just what you were saying before, find the stud.
You didn't find a stud.
Pre-drill.
I'll tweet it to you.
See, of course. See, that's what y'all do. Y'all want credit for everything. Y'all. So you sat up there. You would have been done.
You would have been done
2 hours earlier if you wasn't filming everything. You did a DIY do it yourself. You did it to try to make some money.
You couldn't even do the job without turning your phone on first. Hey, let me IG live this as I'm building my gym. Let me IG live this. Man, just do it. Like, what? Like, how many people?
Well, guess what? That IG live is going to work on the Wi-Fi because I know how to work Wi-Fi.
Let me put this on my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's great.
Are you sitting out there taking pictures of every meal you eat?
No. I eat before I take pictures. Don't you worry about that.
How old are you, Justin?
I'm 30, so I'm right in that middle bracket of where
you're kind of on the later end now. You've already had the experience of not being able to do things for yourself that you probably do look at some people around you with disdain, right? Don't you look like, man, you're giving us a bad name.
Yes, there are some. I will give you the credit of there's some people who are very, very lazy in today's environment.
What's the last date you went on? What's the last date you went on? You mess around. You go on a date with somebody new. You take your fork out about to get something. They'll try and cut your finger off before they got to get a live chat tweet snap of the food.
Bart, that's why you order. That's why you order the side fries so you don't have to worry about losing your fries.
Yeah.
Wow.
they got to take a picture of every damn thing they eat. Like, everything got to be documented.
Thank you, Justin.
Like, restaurants, they look up, they say the average meal to get a table is an extra 45 minutes because I have people there documenting everything they eat.
You know what, though? Tim in Indiana also has a response here. Tim?
Yes, sir.
What's happened?
Yes.
Yes.
What you got for us, Tim?
Yeah, I'm a 43-year-old man, and I hear this argument all the time about the generations. And my only thing is, we raised the kids that we are
complaining about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if anybody kind of to blame, it might be us.
Yeah, you could argue that. But here's my counter argument to that. It's the fact that there are things that are available now to kids that weren't available when we were, so we didn't have the option of choosing not to.
Yeah, we had to fix our own bike. We had to figure it out, man. Yeah,
if you didn't figure out how to fix your bike, or you didn't figure out how to do something, you just didn't have it. And, you know, everybody else has that option now. You can go to Angie's List.
We used to build our own basketball court.
The kid goes on Angie's List and just gets something done. You come home, like, you get that done? Yeah. And meanwhile, you get a charge, and you're like, whoa, what is this?
I mean, we were cutting crates and making our own basketball rims, making it out of wood, stands 10 feet, steel plumb. Please. If it fell on us, we figured it out. We put a counterweight, put a banded tire on the back to stop it from falling on our heads.
Just go down any neighborhood, look down the street. You see kids playing football? You see kids playing stickball? You see kids playing hockey on the street? Or do you see just street?
Man, these kids, like, these kids,
just,
like,
different world.
You call these kids on the phone, they don't pick up, then they text you like, "Yeah, what's up?" Man, I just called you. yeah, my bad. Like, man, listen, I ain't got time for this.
Enough bashing, man. Enough bashing. This is just what
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's right. But it just the work ethic thing was kind of funny to this. So that's what
they
but so you know what? We got to get to some other kid that's in our life right now, and that's Zach Wilson.
Oh, okay.
And the Jets had their first preseason game. Jalen Hurts looked great for the Eagles. And Zach Wilson in his second year, which is a lot of hype, there's a lot of hope for a lot of these second-year quarterbacks based off of a very incomplete first year for most of these guys. Zach Wilson, one of them, number two pick in the draft. All right, what you going to be? Well, his first series, he throws a pick. There's the first kick in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
Then the next series, he scrambles. Oh, Zach Wilson runs now?
Oh, Michael Vick.
Runs 7 yards. He tries to go, as you would say, L2, R2, and then, yeah. Right down on the ground he goes, limps off, and we're all like, oh, no. And the thought was ACL. Some people were assuming ACL. It ends up being a bone bruise. Yeah, non-contact injury. Ends up being a bone bruise. Ends up being a meniscus tear that they're going to clean up tomorrow with surgery, arthroscopic surgery. They're saying at worst 4 weeks, then he can return. So he could be back. But there's a part of me that feels like, okay, you avoided what could have been a disaster. So it's good news, but it's still bad news for the Jets for several reasons. Do you understand why I would say that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at it, you want him to, first of all, understand how to run a team. And, two, just like you need him to get the reps. So now he's going to be coming into the season with everybody's in a rhythm. Everybody's practicing. Everybody's been playing games. And he's got to try and hit the ground running, and he didn't get that opportunity to prepare to get ready for the season. So now he's going to come in, Joe Flacco. What if the team's playing well like they did without him last year, and then now you're going to bench him? And the team's got some type of chemistry, so that's less opportunities with his young weapons, less opportunities for with him in LaFleur. So it's a bit of concern there because it's like, okay, well, here we go again. Yeah, maybe 4 weeks, but how many games is going to affect him? How many games is going to take him, or weeks is going to take him to get back to being able to prepare?
Does it make you less confident in Zach Wilson being the guy?
Not the guy, but it makes me less confident that he's going to have a good start to the season. And the Jets can't afford to get off to a slow start because their schedule is tough.
Yes,
they need
to
try and take advantage of a Deshaun Watson-less Cleveland Browns. You know, the Ravens is going to be a tough out. I mean, I think probably a fair matchup is the game against the Steelers, right? Because the Steelers, you know, who knows? Mitchell
Trubisky.
Well,
that defense is still good, though.
Exactly. And, like, what I was disappointed about is how easily Jalen Hurts went down and just scored on the starting defense that has supposedly improvements all over the place.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get to more on the Jets and where they are right now in the AFC East, and also with the Zach Wilson injury with Rich Cimini here in just a couple of seconds. But just want to remind you, it is Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Play action. Back to throw is Wilson. Under pressure, buying time. Scrambles out of the pocket and he'll run. Tucks it under at the 40, lowers his shoulder, and dives out close to midfield. And he's a little slow to get up, getting up with a little bit of a limp.
Yes, Bob Wischusen on the call. ESPN New York 98.7, home of the Jets in New York. And Rich Cimini, been covering the Jets for a very long time. He's our ESPN Jets reporter. Joins us right now. Rich, how are we doing? Was there a collective exhale when the news came out about the injury, or is there still concern just because it's your young quarterback and he starts the season with an injury?
I think Rich got caught up in a windstorm.
Yeah, it sounds like Rich is like in the midst of a tornado or something going on because he's just whipping around out there. Florham Park, man, the wind just kicks up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. He's probably at the Vista View. He's probably up at the top of the Vista View. You know what I'm saying?
Vista View.
You know, they got like the Woody's.
No Vista?
Ain't no view.
Sure ain't no view.
But I tell you what, this is one of my biggest concerns is when Rich gets on and we can kind of probably continue from there.
Yep.
My concern is that, you know, we watched last year, you know, George Fant play at almost a Pro Bowl level.
Uh-huh.
And now he's moving over
left
to
tackle.
The right side.
Right. They signed
and
Dwayne
now,
Brown.
Right,
I did
so
want to ask you that. Right. Dwayne Brown coming in and they give him the left tackle position, which clearly was a contingent to signing him, right, Bart? It had to have been.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure at this age he don't want to figure out how to be in a reverse stance. But it's concerned because are we going to get the same level of performance from Fant at right tackle that we got at left tackle?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get more of these questions answered. Rich Cimini now back with us as we get things right. Rich, you here with us? We got you.
I believe I'm here now, Alan. How you guys doing? Thanks
we heard a lot
me.
Of wind blowing.
You got a next tail, man?
You
got
caught up in the crosswinds at Florham Park. But the question I asked was just a simple one with Zach Wilson. It was there a collective exhale, a sigh of relief when the news came out that the injury wasn't as devastating as a lot of people assumed it was when we first saw it for Zach Wilson? Or is there still heightened concern because this second-year quarterback's already starting the season with an injury?
Well, a little of both, I would say, because, you know, the Jets are cautiously optimistic that this is going to be a short-term thing from 2 to 4 weeks. But, you know, they kind of got burned on that Mekhi Becton quickie diagnosis. So I think they're going to wait till this process plays out. Zach will be in Los Angeles tomorrow. He's getting the arthroscopic surgery done from the Los Angeles Rams doctor. That'll be done there tomorrow. And then they'll know exactly what the timeline is. But from talking to people close to the situation, they feel that it's going to be just a trim. I know I'm using layman terms here. It's not a medical term, but they think it'll be more of a trim as opposed to like a full repair of his meniscus. Now, if for some reason they go in there and it's a full repair, then we're talking about an entirely different situation. But they feel pretty confident that it's just going to be that minor trim.
Yeah, we've saw Ben Roethlisberger get this procedure in the season and come back. Now, Ben is a different animal. But even before the injury occurred, they didn't look like they had a great rhythm. Now, is there any concern or what should we expect or what are we looking for to in the second preseason game where you get a little bit more of the starters, you prepare a little bit more as far as from a game plan standpoint? But is this a pivotal week for them to kind of establish that it is some growth and that the new weapons can make a difference?
Well, we're going to see a lot of your old friend, Bart, Joe Flacco. You know, he's got to get work. I mean, he is right now the QB1. I mean, he could end up starting the week one game against the Ravens, his old team. That's TBD right now. But so he'll get a lot of work against Atlanta on Monday night. He's getting all the first team reps in practice. Look, Joe, you know Joe better than I do or most anyone listening to this. I mean, Joe can throw the ball. I mean, he's just got an arm that does not seem to diminish over the years. Now, the question is mobility. I mean, there were a couple of plays in practice today where he was completely trapped in the pocket and could not escape, whereas Zach Wilson could. Mm. So that's the downside to a Joe Flacco. But the Jets are saying they feel really confident with Joe. There's a lot of new pieces on this offense, and you guys were touching on it just a couple of minutes ago. The offensive line got some major question marks there. Dwayne Brown still not practicing. And you know, they've been rotating guys at left tackle until he gets in there. George Fant learning to play right tackle over again. A lot of questions on this offense right now.
So that's one side of the ball. My other concern is on the other side. You know, defensively, you talk about the personnel and the names. They sound great on the defensive line. But I have a little bit of concern of how easy that the – and I know Philadelphia has the best offensive line in the game. But that was like a hot knife through butter, you know, as far as them just going down the field. And this was a team that had the worst defense, 31st in the league. Like, I mean, I'm trying to look at some returns on these investments that we made. Like, how do they feel about the defensive performance, and how do they get better, or is this just what they are?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a really bad drive by the defense. But I would note that five defensive starters were resting. They rested five guys, including C.J. Mosley, including Carl Lawson. They were expecting to play. They actually went through the warm-ups and were in the locker room. And quite literally before they were about to go through the tunnel to go onto the field for the game, you know, they got a tap on the shoulder from Robert Saleh, who said, "Sorry, guys, I'm just going to rest you tonight." Now, I don't think either one of those guys was happy about it, but that was probably a prudent thing to do. So that first drive, Bart, was sort of a half first-team defense. And without C.J. Mosley, they just they get all out of whack. We saw it last year again when they played the Patriots without him. The defense was just a ball of confusion. And so C.J. not being there, I think, had a lot to do with that. But there were blown coverages, and there were guys who didn't know what they were doing. So, but I would caution, like I said, first preseason game, half the defense was on the bench.
Talking with Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets. The Jets with some bad news. Obviously, this is already in the preseason. First, Mekhi Becton. Now, Becton likely out for the whole season. Zach Wilson, not nearly as much, but as Rich tells us, after surgery tomorrow, we'll see what the length of this injury is. But they're hoping it's closer to 4 weeks to get him back a lot sooner. The second-year quarterback with a very important year for him. Rich, Joe Douglas had a big draft. This is a very intriguing draft class. Was there one? I know it's preseason, but still, we always look for standouts. Was there somebody that jumped off the page for you?
Well, not really in the not really in that one game. I thought Breece Hall did a couple of things. I think Garrett Wilson today made a really good catch in practice. It was a third down pass over the middle where he had to twist his body on a ball thrown behind him and made a really nice catch for the first down. Earlier in practice, he did have a drop, and he's had a few in training camp, something to keep an eye on. But a really good athlete with a really good demeanor. You could tell he just belongs. And, Sauce Gardner played a lot. He played 15 snaps in the game the other night. Didn't really have a, play one way or the other. So it was pretty much a quiet night for the rookies, I would say. I think their playing time will be amped up more. All of those guys are going to play major roles for the Jets this year, and that includes Jermaine Johnson, and that includes Breece Hall, and all the rookies. All four of the top rookies are going to have key roles.
No, and speaking to Joe Douglas and to Saleh, is it something that we're going to expect? What do we expect the second game to be like? And how much is White going to play into this as well? Is this a competition, or is this just Joe Flacco's offense to run? Because last year we saw, Mike White, kind of captivate the country, for a second.
Yeah. Hey, Mike White got in the Hall of Fame, after that 400-yard passing day.
So it's like Lynn Samuel all over again.
That's right.
I know. He had his cleats in Canton and the ball, and it was like record-setting. But Look, there's no doubt here, but Joe Flacco is the number two quarterback. He's taken, when Zach was healthy, he took every rep with the second team. Now he's taking every rep with the first team. And I know Mike White had that, you know, phenomenal day last year, but he is the third quarterback here. Now, the Jets say they're very confident in him. He's actually started three games for the Jets all last year, so there is, they've seen him do it. But on a day-to-day basis, you can see that Flacco is clearly the better quarterback, and the Jets see that as well.
Is Mims or Bryce Hall going to be on this team? Because I can't imagine Bryce Hall is happy that he got his spot taken and he performed so well as a young player last year. And Mims, you know, kind of being the odd man out. Do you see him being traded, or can he really compete with Corey Davis? And maybe Corey Davis is the one that's out.
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Bart. Denzel, you know, I watch him every day. You know, the coaching staff, of course, is praising him, you know, to the hilt. But I think that might be just to raise his trade value. I do think there is a chance he could be traded. I'm just having a hard time finding a spot for him on the 53-man roster right now. He was the seventh receiver into the game on Friday night. Did not get any time with the starters. You know, he did have a couple of catches, which was fine, but then he had a drop, and he also had an illegal formation penalty, which I know just drives coaches crazy because the guy didn't know to line up off the ball. And so I think it's going to be a really tough decision for the Jets. Would Joe Douglas actually cut a second-round pick from 2020? That's going to be tough. So I think they could probably find a team willing to give up a sixth or seventh round draft pick for Denzel Mims, because I do think his roster spot is tenuous at this point.
It is interesting to see it, right? Like you saw those same things, the mental mistakes that he makes in a game. And I know you were making note in your notes that Saleh has spent time with him on the field, talking to him in practice, which you say rarely happens that a player is in the realm of a head coach during practice. But there's been a lot of conversations. We'll see what happens there. But obviously all eyes on tomorrow and Zach Wilson and the results of the surgery and how long they will be without him. Rich, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Rich Cimini, again, been covering the Jets for a very long time. And it just feels like with the Jets at this point of training camp or preseason, you're just waiting for, well, where's the bad news? Thought it was Mekhi Becton. Okay. All right. But they get Duane Brown. Maybe they can stabilize. But then the Zach Wilson injury happens, and you feel like it's got to stop. Maybe that's why Robert Saleh decided to tell C.J. Mosley and Carl Lawson, we're going to sit you guys out here.
Like, just want to get you to the regular season. At least have you for guys one game, see one. What it looks like.
Absolutely true. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of what it looks like, what does it look like when someone takes a blowtorch to the front office of a team he used to play for? We'll tell you next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Swing and a miss. Waka strikes out at Duhar. They go 1-2-3. He has struck out 9. And Michael Waka, 7 shutout innings.
The Yankees lose
2-3
in Fenway. What did I tell you Friday, though? Like, be honest. All kidding aside.
I do. You said it's the rivalry. You can never
told you I was
them.
Worried.
You can never count them out.
Told you I was worried.
Who knew that Devers was your daddy?
No, Devers. How about Michael Waka and the performance that he had? The pitching.
Waka, Waka.
I mean, the pitching for the Red Sox over the weekend was phenomenal. The offense, just brutal. They held on to win Saturday's game, and luckily they did that. They have gotten swept, but it wasn't easy. So the Yankees, it's Bart Hahn, by the way, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The Yankees have lost 9 of 11 now. Now, they still have a 10-game lead in the division, but what you're starting to see, along with injuries, DJ LeMahieu now got a big toe issue. He's getting an MRI. Severino's still out, of course. Matt Carpenter, he was such a revelation. They lose him. And Stanton is still out. In fact, I think it's still some time before he even starts to practice, work his way back to the team. Rizzo came back from the back injury, but he's, you know, again, back injury means you're managing that. And so, you know, they've been going through this. And as you're looking at them right now, and we said it even before the slide, that until they couldn't beat the Astros, and until they prove they can, October is going to be an anxiety-ridden month for a Yankees fan. But then I'm watching the K-Rod cast last night, which was phenomenal, by the way, on ESPN2. They had Derek Jeter on with A-Rod, which was special. And those two together, it was fun to watch. K did a great job, you know, just keeping the conversation moving, keeping it light, keeping it fun. But then when Jeter left, while Jeter was there first, A-Rod started to kind of take down some of the stuff the Yankees were doing or maybe weren't doing. Like, he was a strong critique of the front office of the Yankees for a lack of moves to build the team towards number 28, like at the trade deadline, by not being more aggressive to get Luis Castillo, who they can't beat, and now is with the Mariners, and who was very much available. Couldn't get him. Didn't want to pay. Didn't want to pay for Juan Soto. Didn't feel like that was important. And one of the things that A-Rod talked about was the idea that you hold on to these prospects, and he said prospects become suspect very fast. And he pointed to what they called the baby bombers, the 2017 team that got to the ALCS, lost Sanchez in game seven to the. And you had a bunch of guys. Aaron Judge, the lead dog, but they had several guys that they looked like as the future. Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez, you mentioned Gleyber Torres. And he basically said, like, Andujar. Look at that. Those guys became, Andujar's another one, became suspect quick. And so you didn't want to trade those guys. Well, Luis Severino.
I'm still waiting to see Floreal. Like I was with a whole nother place. I was working for a whole nother place, man. You know how long I've been working for ESPN now.
And you've been hearing about Floreal.
I've been hearing about
Floreal.
Yeah.
Hilarious. It went as far as A-Rod going to a graphic, also pointing out mismanaging, you know, how they're handling Aaron Judge. So I wanted to play this because I think it's getting overlooked. I know we're all excited about A-Rod and Jeter kind of mending fences. This is a way bigger story. Let's start with just A-Rod critical of how the Yankees have handled Aaron Judge's contract situation.
The mismanagement of Aaron Judge is the biggest mistake for me. You look at what Alex Anthopoulos has done with the Braves. He signed Riley now for 10 years at a discount. You add that to Acuna and Albies. And then you took a guy like Aaron Judge. He should have been signed 3 years ago. Now, Cashman has backed the Yankees into a corner where it's going to cost them $45 or $50 million a year. Aaron Judge, there is no debate. He should be the highest paid player in the game for sure. Hal Steinbrenner may have to bail out Brian Cashman and pay an extra $100 million 6 months later.
I'll tell you what, I agree with him on the fact that, A, you could have probably signed him to extension a couple years ago because he had that great year
in
17, and then he had injury issues.
Yep, and that's crazy.
And they were probably hesitant to sign him.
But they did that with Hicks, and they did that with Severino. So that just let me know that they didn't believe in a long term because they thought it was more imperative that they sign Severino to a long term, and they got a really team-friendly deal with Hicks, who still haven't lived up to it because he's been hurt ever since he put the ink to the pad.
I'm telling you, and I agree with A-Rod saying this. I've said this a million times. You know I've been banging this drum since April. He should be the highest paid player in the sport. No one means more to the sport, especially with Tatis now going through what he's going through.
Well,
the sport needs Aaron Judge. He's in the major market. They need him in the major market as well. Now Soto's in San Diego. You need him in a major market. He's important in pinstripes more than any other place. He is so easy to sell. He's great with fans. He's a bigger-than-life personality and human being. You've got to pay him. And, again, the fact that they dragged their feet through this whole thing, even made him in arbitration go through, oh, well, we'll meet in the middle. I mean, give me a break. But
it's
here's
$2 million.
Here's more from A-Rod on where the Yankees are right now as far as being self-aware, especially at the trade deadline this year.
When you look at the lack of self-awareness of what the Yankees thinking that this team is better than what they are, most teams got better. The Yankees got worse. They should have gone Castillo. And then Jordan Montgomery, they trade him to St. Louis. He's 2-0 for a fourth outfielder in Bader. So, again, a lot of things that make you say, wonder. And when you talk to Yankee fans, they're furious, they're impatient, and they think this year's getting away.
There's a lot of frustration among Yankee fans right now because they've had a great first half of the year, and now that they're going through this correction where they've lost 9 of 11, they're no longer the best record in baseball. In fact, they're now the fourth best record, but they're still 10 games up in their division, so the division doesn't seem like it's a concern. But the Astros have home field advantage. Right? Right now they do. They're 2.5 games ahead of the Yankees now for best record in the American League. And that is something you obviously know is a concern. You'd rather have a game 7 at home because we just know how you can't win in that building. So there's, look, A-Rod can, you could say, well, he's got an axe to grind with Cashman. You can say whatever you want. But you can't say that he's wrong about what he said. Now, Harrison Bader, the jury's out because he hasn't played. And they think he can be a huge impact player on defense in the outfield. You get Judge out of the center field position. You don't know what Aaron Hicks is going to be health-wise. He certainly ain't hitting. Bader can be a good guy on the bases as well. But right now, they are struggling. They've got to get healthy. It is August. There's still plenty of time. But I told you, anxiety only builds with a great season. And I'll repeat what Jeter said. And this is all I got to say about it, Bart. And then I'll let you make your comments. But Jeter said the Yankees' attitude towards the regular season is this. The regular season is basically a warm-up for the playoffs because the playoffs is the only thing that matters. 92 wins, 102 wins, 112 wins, it doesn't matter. It's what you do in October that matters. And that's still the case right now for this franchise. But the criticism that A-Rod has given last night, to me, is very much on point.
No, I think you're correct. I think they should have, like, to his point, they should have got Judge a long time ago, the year after he came out the 51 home runs, the home run derby where he captivated the baseball world and he was injured. They should have been got to him because they had the position. They had the bargaining power. They had the leverage. And now they don't have the leverage. So now it's going to cost them. And let's see if it costs them the player altogether. Like, you know, sometimes I think we overvalue the mystique of the Yankee franchise and being a part of the Yankees. A lot of times now, a lot of these young players, they don't have the same respect for the organization that you may think is garnered. They're not historians of the game. They play the game. They don't really watch, you know, pay attention to the past. Not saying that Aaron Judge isn't that guy, but I mean, you can
Yankees
only
are a brand. It's different. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
But so are the Cowboys, and people in the Cowboys, people ain't saying, oh, I just want to stay with the Cowboys.
I'll tell you what.
If they got some money somewhere else, they're getting the hell up out of Dodge. I guarantee you that.
Well, but listen, here's the thing with the Yankees, though, is that, and Aaron Boone as their manager, he's over 400 wins already.
Yeah.
They win games in the regular season. That's the thing that people keep, well, look, they're always in the playoffs. What are you complaining about? You understand, the standard is just different.
Yeah.
And right now, you're looking at a team that just looks like, here we go again, a good regular season, but can they be a championship team? Because number 28, it's been a while. Okay, Jeter talked about what happened after they lost in 01, and that ended their run of 4-5. And it was devastating. And then he said, I didn't think I was going to wait all the way to 2009 to win another one. It felt like a long time to get that next championship. Well, guess what? It's been an even longer time since they've even appeared in a World Series.
Yeah.
From 2000 to 2009, they still got to the World Series two times in between, 2001 and 2003. And 2004, they had the heartbreaking loss in the ALCS, obviously. So this is a franchise not used to this, and a franchise that seems to be run a different way than it used to. And a lot of the fans are having a hard time with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Agree or disagree?
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's flip this for a second as the Yankees are struggling. Bart, I'll hand it to you. The Mets are rolling. 8 of 9. They take business. I mean, the Phillies came into that series this weekend. They were red hot. And they were cooled off quickly by the Mets. And now you've got a series once again with the Braves. Braves are 5.5 games back here. A 4-game set. Like, this is pretty much the division right here. You get 3 out of 4, it's lights out. Division is locked up. Right? Like, this is a pretty...
Yeah.
And this is in Atlanta. The Braves know that they were embarrassed. I mean, they lost 4 out of 5 a week ago in that extended series with the Mets because they were right on their tails going into that
series.
One
game, I think. This game, this is what we talked about.
So this is a big series. This is going to be a lot of fun to see. Are the Braves going to answer back? Are they going to respond here and keep this thing a series? I mean, a race for the division.
A lot of those games were really tight the first time around. And, you know, fortunately for us, the Mets.
Us.
You know what I mean? They... You know, they worked out. But let's see. Like, I was surprised that, you know, Serger. And then they really didn't put a lot of run support up for DeGrom, you know, the 1-0 game the other day. So, I mean, I want to see the hitting come back. You know, I mean, this is the second time these teams have seen each other. So they're going to have some notes. They're going to have some familiarity, you know, with the pitching. You know, it's just important that, you know, like you said, if you want to be the champ, you want to be the one seed, get the bye, you know, you got to take care of business. And this is the time where you bury them. You don't make it interesting. You don't you don't let them get 2 out of 2. You don't split the series. You dominate the series, 3-1 or better. That's just how it has to be to say, okay, man, listen, we got what we came here for, and we came here to get closer to the division, and I think we got it.
Now, to the Braves' credit, too, that series didn't crush them. In fact, they've just won 6 in a row to stay at least within an arm's length here. So, like, they come in now hot again, and you got to feel like they've got to feel, all right, we're home. We got to get some payback here and make this thing, you know, make this thing a race. They're going to lock up. I mean, they will win a wild card spot. It's curious to see, though, of course, the Mets send that message, you can't beat us. You know, it sort of like lingers in your head, right? That's why I feel like the Braves have got to feel like they've got to get something out of this series. Because who, aside from maybe the Dodgers, are the Mets looking at in the National League saying that this team's going to give us a hard time? I mean, that's the way they've been playing lately. That's the way they've been playing since the All-Star break. This should be a fun series to watch. It's a big series for the Braves, more than it is for the Mets. Huge series.
And it should get a little feisty. You know, you think about seeing each other and fighting for it. I want to see somebody get banged in the butt cheek.
Here we go. See, Bart always wants that smoke. We're back.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It begins today, everybody, the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon. It kicks off tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. You get more than 28 hours of fantasy football programming, 4-hour fantasy football now on ESPN. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also sign up for fantasy football for free at ESPN.com/FFL. Download the free ESPN Fantasy app on your Android, iOS, and iPad. You can play in up to 25 leagues, and you get all the tips and insights you need from Fantasy Focus and Fantasy Football Now experts, all on the app. Well worth your time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls here before we call it a day. My man Wayne in New York. What's up, Wayne?
What's going on, guys? I want to applaud A-Rod because he hit it right on the nose. Listen, Alan, I know me and you are Yankee fans. I know we both suffer from anxiety from time to time. But to me, the Yankees lost the World Series when they didn't get Castillo. And the bad thing about it is they had a front row seat to look at him.
Yeah.
This was the perfect guy to beat Houston, and they didn't get him. I'm not too much worried about Soto. But, Bart, the World Series winner is going to be the Atlanta Braves.
Hater.
They look hot. They look good, and now they got Acuna back. And now, I mean, listen, I got them winning it all. The Yankees blew it when they didn't get Castillo. Next year, if they don't try to get, like, Carlos Correa or Trey Turner, it's not going to happen, Captain.
Wayne, you deserve to lose Aaron Judge, and I can't wait till you do.
Wow, how dare you?
How you gonna tell me that the Braves gonna lose? How you gonna tell me that the Braves gonna win the championship?
I'm not feeling that either. I still look at the Dodgers. They just won 12 in a row.
That still sounds like some Met hate.
You know what though? Again, Frankie Montas was they traded for him instead of Castillo. They brought him in to be number two next to Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's got to stop the bleeding tonight now. But like you have Montas, and you look at him thinking, okay, this guy's got good stuff. He should be a good starter. And he gave you like a decent start, but there were moments in his start this weekend where you're like,
it's like they went
I don't
cheap.
Know if I trust him. I don't know if I could trust him. And they say, oh, he's got what it's made. He's made to play in New York. He's got what made. Well, these first two starts, he wasn't great. Albert's in Illinois. Albert?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, yeah, the Yankees definitely blew it. For sure, when it comes to Judge, signing him, locking him up early, 100%. And just looking at that team as a whole, I got a lot of friends that are Yankees fans. Being from Illinois, I'm a Cardinals fan. And, well, first off, we definitely get return on investment for Montgomery,
for Bader, for yeah. sure. He's really shining. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he can do. But at the same time, it almost seems like both of these teams have kind of fallen into, and I've felt this way as a Cardinals fan for a while, and I'm kind of seeing it relate to what the Yankees are doing. They kind of fall into this just like, you know, postseason's good enough. Division title, good enough. Oh, we made it to the postseason. We made it to the postseason.
It's amazing. The Cardinals have been just – it's been very similar. Thanks, Albert. Right, Bart? It's been very similar. The Cardinals have been very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, got the one World Series. And
Goldsmith,
and,
yeah.
You know, they've just been very good. But it sounds like, you know, like you're spoiled. Oh, well, you're going to win 90-something games every year and make the playoffs, and you're going to complain. You do reach a point, though, where you do that year after year, and you say, one of these years, you got to win a championship.
Yep.
One of these years, you got to. You just can't always every year. Well, at least you make the playoffs every year. I'll say it again. Jeter said it. The regular season is just a warm-up for what matters most, and that is the playoffs. Bart and I will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.